This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
All right, Patrick, I know that your favorite time of year is that time each year in the spring when the NFL schedule, the Vikings schedule comes out and you sit down and just start crunching it, going through it. So what are your thoughts about the very exciting 2023 schedule?
They got more late night games than I thought they would. What, five of them or something? And I would say that you start 1-1. I'd say that you get a walkover at home against a terrible Tampa Bay team, and then 4 days later they make you go to Philadelphia. You don't even have time to prepare. Like Philadelphia gets the home game there, so I would guess that's Philly's home opener too. So they're 1-1, and after that, I scanned through it. I came up with about 8-9, which should be good enough to win the division, I would think. 8-9 will win the division. But they obviously, the NFL thinks it's going to be Detroit and the Vikings. Yes. Because they have them playing, what, two of the last three weeks. They got Detroit.
Green Bay in the middle.
So they obviously think it's going to come down to the Lions and the Vikings. Of course, it's always dangerous to expect good things from the Lions because, generally speaking, whenever you expect good things from them, they go in the tank or somebody gets hurt or something. So, those were the things I noticed, I guess. And it's funny how you look at Green Bay and go, Now you look at a Green Bay game and you go, oh, okay, who cares? It's Green Bay because they don't have a quarterback anymore. So, they must like going to the how many of those primetimers are in the dome? Three.
Yep.
Yeah, I think they must like going to that stadium. They must, they can show all all the nonsense before the game and all that good stuff. So they must like coming here.
Speaking of Patrick, your Christmas Eve Packers moment in the bowels of the Metrodome might be topped when Dad was arrested in front of his kids.
Because did
you see the penultimate game is New Year's Eve 7:30 kick at US Bank Stadium?
Ooh,
I guess if you ever want to see drunken debauchery, show up.
Against the Packers?
Against the Packers.
Oh, yeah, that'll be wonderful. It really will. It will be, they should have, back in ancient times in Rome, when they would have these feasts, they had a vomitorium. They would just, where all the guys would go in and vomit and then come back and eat more. They should have a vomitorium at the that Packers, just turn one of those big bathrooms into the place where you went to vomit, right? Instead of having people do it in various places around the stadium, well, you better have a vomitorium on each side of the stadium because that it's not like the Metrodome where everything's convenient. You got to walk a long way, but it's time to have a vomitorium at the whatever we call that place, it was Ziggy Bill. It's time to have a, when they're spending that $280 to redo the place, this ancient stadium we have that needs $280 million of refurbishments, let's throw in a vomitorium on that one too. So
get it,
really high class one. And we can have someone dressed up like an old Roman servant, in there and wash. Then they come in and puke and you just throw the buckets of water and it goes down the drain. It'll be fantastic. They can show that on TV too. That'd be terrific.
And they can get a corporate sponsor to sponsor.
Yes, right. Great. Waste Management. I'd love to do it. They're a big giant. So anyway, it is amazing though. I like watching SportsCenter now because I think Van Pelt is great. Right. I think what they do out there, I watch more of it again than I used to. But last night, you couldn't watch anything last night. It was all somebody standing in front of the screen telling you about what game to look for.
Oh, yeah.
The NFL is so genius. It's unbelievable. They have made telling you who they're going to play 5 months from now a big event. It's incredible.
Yeah. So Albert Breer, I saw, he used to work for the NFL Network. Now he's at SI.com. And he actually tweeted a story from 10 years ago when he was at NFL Network, and they told him, hey, you're going to be sent to Chicago, and we're going to go to a big crowded Chicago sports bar, and we're going to bring the photographer guy, and you're going to be doing TV hits, and we're going to make it a big deal, schedule release night in Chicago at a bar, just capture the excitement. On that same night, Bulls and Blackhawks playoff games going on.
Is that right? And
he had to beg for one of the TVs to be put on NFL Network. Yeah.
Now they'd probably, the Bulls and the Blackhawks would be forgotten. They'd have to have the schedule on. They've managed in 10 years, they have succeeded in making it into an event. It's a bigger event than the hockey draft, the baseball draft. It's a bigger event than not as bigger event than the NBA draft, probably, but close. It is incredible.
How far down the list? This is baseball's litmus test. So baseball's free agency is not anything like any other. Now I think the last couple of years there's been some early signings and stuff, but the other leagues, it's like this is free agency week in the NBA and the NHL and the NFL. And 90% of the top players are going to sign this week, and you're going to know it's very exciting. Baseball, it takes like 4 months oftentimes.
Yeah, baseball does not have that kind of a window. You know, I think they tried to make it a trading window so that at the winter meetings you'd have to trade because then it would be closed for a while or something. They tried to do it, but it just doesn't work. The NBA has done it, and of course the NFL has. You know, 3 days of deals being announced, but it's not the league year, so it's not official. You got to have the league year, you know.
How many years into the future until we have the ball dropping to signify the start of the league year?
League year, March 11th. That's right.
Times Square.
We get New Year's Eve. League year. Yeah, I love the league year. Then I also love
Ryan Seacrest hosting the NFL. Happy New Year. It's March 11th.
Other thing I always like is, they have to protect. You don't hear that as much, but you used to have to hear they have to protect the shield. That was one of my favorites. Anybody ever said that to me, there would be a profanity uttered in their face. But no matter who they were, I would have to use the vomitorium if somebody said to me, you got to protect the shield. But that was a big deal like 10 years ago.
You know what we need for Pat? You remember when Rob Lowe was like at the Super Bowl 1 year and they just showed him in the crowd watching the Super Bowl and he was wearing an NFL hat. It was just like a black hat with a big NFL logo. And people were like, why is he wearing just an NFL hat? That's what we need for Patrick. We need Pat to just wear a shield hat everywhere he goes.
By the way, I'm glad you brought up Rob Lowe. I really admire this guy. Because when he was a young superstar, he was kind of a pain in the ass, right? He in the last 10 years will take any role that makes him into any fool. And he's great. His humility of taking second, third rate roles and usually being the moron, I admire that. He didn't have to keep being the love interest superstar. He was willing to take other roles. So I've become a Rob Lowe fan.
He still looks great, too. He's looking fantastic.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, I missed the mayonnaise jar commercials. I think it was the DirecTV ads that you had skinny arms Rob Lowe trying to open the mayonnaise jar.
Yes, anyway, now we digress. But, the NFL, nobody can deny that they are the marketers of all time. And it's incredible. So the schedule and I'm, people don't go to the office anymore. So we can't say everybody's in the office this morning talking about the NFL schedule instead of anything else. If people still went to the office, they would. And the water coolers, we don't have those anymore. So you can't talk about around the water cooler.
Those are germ hubs now.
You can't do that either.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Anyway, how about that Tyler Manley? Huh? He'll be back. They might not miss a start. They told us 2 days after. Might not miss a start.
He might. Wow. Might just need to bump him by a day, and then they can slide him back in there. So they wind up. They wind up getting nothing out of him because he's not under team control. That's
free
the
agent,
here.
Which is good. You know, who wants to? Paddock, you got him cheap, right? And you think he can come back. And then you got him for 2 years. You paid him, what, $2 million this year, and then for doing nothing, and then bring him back next year for $9 million or something. But Malley is, you haven't seen anything that would want you to bring him back. So it's lucky he's a free agent and you don't have to pay him for a whole year of rehab. But reading through the quotes, it sounds like he had the option of not having Tommy John on trying to pitch again, which might have been the Twins' preference. Although I saw the quote, his quote from the doctor was, if you come back and pitch with this, you'll grow two starts and then you'll have the same problem again. So they're trying to say these two things are unrelated. I don't believe it.
His shoulder and the elbow?
The shoulder. Last year they talked about the forearm a little bit too. So, that one didn't work out because that Encarnacion strand. I'm not too worried about the infielder that's playing third for him. But this other guy is hitting 365 at Louisville. Now he doesn't have a position, and Encarnacion strand, but he's a big Oklahoma State kid and a slugger, and he's probably going to be their DH there. So, Twins have a DH, but. He's a right-handed hitter too, which you could maybe teach him how to play first base and be a right-handed hitting first baseman.
Or he could have been used as a trade chip for someone that didn't have a broken shoulder.
Yes, that's even a better idea to get a pitcher that's not crippled. God almighty! Everybody keeps bringing up Sam Dyson. I gotta say, the statute of limitations has passed on Sam Dyson. Okay, that was 4 years ago, right? 2019. By the way, I looked it up. Sam was with the Tijuana Toros last year.
Oh.
And pitched okay with Fernando Rodney. And Fernando Rodney were teammates.
Wow.
But Sam's not there this year, and I don't know where he is. Maybe he just retired. Didn't Sam have a little spat with the girlfriend or the wife? Threw the cat at the girlfriend.
Snuggles.
Yeah.
He turns out he tossed the cat at the
Snuggles.
Girlfriend.
Snuggles.
She ran Snuggles the account. The cat. The whole thing was a fraud.
Snuggles was a big Instagram influencer cat. Yeah.
And he threw the cat at her to get more business on the Instagram account.
No, turned out he was just a raging a-hole.
Yeah.
Well, thought he's a great pet lover. He didn't care about the pet.
If the moral of the story here is, if they have had any arm trouble in the last 2 years, don't trade for them, right? Now Al Pablo had a little, tendonitis or something like that.
Like
so he
spring
missed
training. Yeah.
He missed parts of a couple of years, but I don't think he had anything that was mysterious like these guys. But they have not had luck with guys with bad arms.
What's funny is the Paddock thing wasn't even mysterious. He had a partially torn UCL.
In October, and they gave it. Okay, as it turned out, they were right about Taylor Rogers, right? It didn't look like it when he had 17 saves in the first 2 months or something. But the fact that they gave put $6 million into the deal. They gave they gave San Diego $6 million to make that trade. What? Who's doing this? Who's approving of these? I mean, and obviously Falvey is, but they gotta, you know, they gotta look at the medicals better, or I don't know what. But God Almighty, what's, you can't just keep giving up players for these guys.
Yeah.
But hey, nice win yesterday, and you know who battled his tail off? Bailey Ober battled his tail off because he did not have his that breaking ball was not going like that. It was kind of going like that, and but he got him out, and I think he's a tail battler. That's what I think.
He is a tail battler. He's
and a, you know who else was a tail battler? Brock Stewart was a tail battler too. But
he's been all right.
I'm trying to think now if this is real, if this guy becomes valuable, when's the last they've had a few of these guys who just were journeymen who went around and then all of a sudden had an effective year for him. I'm trying to think of our last one of those. There's some,
I think you've hit on something. We need to make official rules for battling your tail off.
Yes. Right.
You know what? So like one example would be you get knocked around in the first inning for a little crooked number, but then you hang tough and complete five innings, maybe five and a third, and you weather the storm a little bit. That's battling your tail off. You don't have your best stuff, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You can't throw your secondary pitch for a strike, but you still wind up going six innings.
Over went six, yeah. How about the stat? What is this doing to us, to our Rocco theories? The Twins starting pitchers lead the major leagues in innings pitched. What is this doing to our theories here?
It's a wholesale change. Last year, 162 games, only 10 times did a starting pitcher go seven innings. It's already happened eight or nine times for the staff in the first month and a half of the season.
And over the way he was throwing yesterday, they wouldn't have hung with him for six, you know, normally, because he was not, you know, he was not sharp at all. But that, see, now that the battling your tail off thing is, it's very difficult to bat in pitching to battle your tail off while you're throwing the fire out of the ball. You can't, you know, because Bailey wasn't throwing the fire out of the ball, which meant he had to battle his tail off.
Yeah,
right?
those are two resistant forces, I think. Yeah,
It's grinding, right? So like they grind, and in baseball you battle your damn tail off.
Mm-hmm. Carlos got a hit, though.
Big one.
Now, hey, by the way, you know what the event of yesterday was? And I don't know if anybody made a big deal about this, but that base hit Joey Gallo had to right field, he hadn't had one of those in 5 years, that ground ball.
Yeah.
Did you see it between first and second?
Yeah.
There would have been a guy standing there. He hasn't had one of those hits till the shift started. I'm sure. Did you see? I don't know if anybody got the quote, but Gallo and Conger were laughing when he got to first base. And you got to know, Gallo said something like, "I haven't got one of those bleepers in 5 years," you know, because it was right where the second baseman was standing. Because it was only 6 feet away, you know, it was in the shallow hole, and then they would have had the shortstop in second base position. So, congratulations, Joey. That might keep you over 200 for the year. You might get a couple of those. And Correa didn't get up to 100, but he didn't get up to 200, but he did win the game for him. So that was
good. I'm trying to find if I'm just looking at like left-handed batting averages this season here. So
It's not huge. It's not a huge difference. I heard that. You know what? This was a week ago, and I was listening to MLB radio, and one of their stat heads was on. They're getting more line drive hits because the second baseman is not standing out 30 feet out in the outfield. There's more,
catch it,
even more than the ground ball. There's more, not, you know, screaming line drives, but more loopers out over the infield. They're now base hits, which they weren't.
Okay, so last year, left-handed batters, and I've got it split into versus righties versus lefties, but left-handed batters hit 239 and 225 against righties and lefties. So 239, 225. This year, it's up to 245.
Oh, that's good.
And 238. So you've seen
And you got to think, because hitting in general is down. You know, I mean, hitting is, teams are, You know, the Twins are hitting 220, and we're not even embarrassed. So, I mean, a lot of the averages are down. I think the fast pitching has had maybe bigger effect on hitters than it's had on pitchers. Yeah. Although Dick and Justin yesterday were trying to make it sound like Mally got caught up in the epidemic of pitching injuries and some people are trying to blame it on the pitch clock. No, fellas. He had a bad arm when they traded for him. Okay. Yes, yeah. They screwed up. So.
And it's okay to acknowledge the truth. The Twins took a couple of big risks on injured pitchers. I'm sure they did. So I'm sure they were aware to some extent, and they decided it's worth the risk, and it backfired.
Not on state-run TV. That's not.
Now I think we all applauded them that they made moves on August 2nd. But in retrospect, what were we trying to accomplish? What were they trying to accomplish? Winning the Central. Okay, then what?
win a playoff game.
Yeah, win a playoff game, but it's not like, ooh, if we add these two pitchers, we're going to win the damn thing. You know, it's not. There was never that feeling with this club, that's for sure.
So. Maybe it gave you a better chance when you're down 0-2 to win game three and win a playoff game. Maybe that
okay. Was the Here's the question. Both of you guys, all three of you, are they a better team than they were last year?
Yes.
I think they are, too.
Yes.
I think they, got they are.
Because they have three pitchers.
Pitching. It carries you.
I think they are. But they need they at are, some point, they need a Royce Lewis or someone to join.
Yeah, they need somebody to be a hitter. You know, I mean, the lineup isn't better. But Kepler not being horrendous is an asset. And Buxton actually playing is an asset. And, you know, so I think they'll. You know, the lineup is, you know, the worst hitting lineup in the league, but I don't think it's much different the lineup-wise than last year, and the pitching's a lot better, so it's a better team than last year.
What's funny is I think they've still scored like 30 more runs than Cleveland this year.
Yeah, Cleveland, well, they don't hit any home runs. Cleveland, I think it was Stephen Kwan was their fifth home run at home whenever they hit it all year long, wow. So. Yes. But it is amazing. I've said this before, I think maybe even this week, but when you see a guy hit, you know, get the ball on the fat part of the bat and just hit it as hard as he can, and it's caught 15 feet away from the center field fence, and you remember Mitch Garver just going, boom, and it goes up there on the lawn. That baseball they were using at 19 must have had a heartbeat. It must have been the damnedest thing ever. They say it's 4%, not 4%. No, they were saying, what, 2%?
2%, yeah, no.
BS.
Maybe 20%. Yeah.
There's Gallo the other day. He hit one good and hit off the thing. If you would have hit it 4 years ago, it would have been out on the sidewalk, you know, out on the by the statues. It's it was amazing what they – you know, what they were using back then, and we were saying, well, yeah, the baseball's kind of lively. It was alive. You know? So it's amazing. But anyway, if it doesn't rain, are they going to have good crowds for the Cubs? They got to put 30 in for the Cubs, don't they? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, those fans will travel a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
Even though they're not they're not real good. They're not as bad as they were supposed to be. So
yeah, they're anyway. Competitive. Bellinger woke up after a 3-year slumber. So
still comes here too as well. So
how about the Dodgers giving him away? I mean, you quit on an MVP what after 2 years? Mm-hmm. He had two bad years, but man alive, that's when he hits one out on the highway, out on the street out there, you got to feel kind of bad if you're a Dodger fan that they didn't hang with this guy a little more. So.
Yeah, well, he's pretty much back. So, well, Pat, enjoy your weekend, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Me, vomitorium. Let's do it. Come on, let's go. There's a big that remodeling. We want a vomitorium.
Call Bagley.
Yes, I will.
Call Lester. Tell him
we can name the vomitorium after Lester.
Amazing. All right, there he is. Royce Unchained and Royce Innovation as well.